Well, so far you've heard my voice, but then I brought two friends along. Next on the mic is my man, Jer. Come on, Jer, sing that song.
David Tyler.
Subscribe now to the OTB Football Podcast stream wherever you get your podcasts and download the OTB Sports app.
The 2021 British and Irish Lions Tour.
On Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, lead partner of the British and Irish Lions.
Yeah, you're welcome along. So we have much to discuss ahead of the second test on Saturday. Ron Nagara will be along in just a moment. First, though, Razi Erasmus was doing his media yesterday. He came out to speak to the media because he knew Jacques Nienaber would be asked about one thing and one thing only, which was, I suppose, about all this Twitter business. And first up, I'm sure you've heard about the Jaakko Johan Twitter account now, which Razi Erasmus has been retweeting, and people have wondered, is Jaakko Johan simply a burner account for Razi Erasmus? So bizarre as it was, this was a big part of the press conference yesterday. Here's Razi with his answer.
No, I'm actually not Jaakko Johan. I'm Johan Erasmus. I actually follow Jaakko Johan. He's a big supporter of us. And he's been feeding me some really good clips and for a while now, some really good things that I actually used in the past. So he's a very big supporter, a really funny guy, and I quite enjoy the thing that he does. Why I'm so active on Twitter, I retweeted about two or three tweets that I really thought was accurate. And then, I tweeted twice just for a simple reason. You know, as director of rugby, we do have the medical department is part of our department, and there's a program called Box Smart, and the one tweet was just, you know, I thought the way Chesden was picked up off the ground, while it could have been a serious injury, you know, we teach our primary school children from any age or level that you leave a player as he is there, because it is dangerous. You know, if we wouldn't like our Springbok players this Saturday to go, every Lions player that's down on his back, to go and pick him up. And I thought that was an important one to get out there while we had the opportunity. I just thought the other tweet was just, the Lions really, I thought, deserved to win. You know, they're going through the same protocols as us, same COVID protocols, so far away from home. So I think it was only those two tweets. And then obviously, I did retweet a few things that a few guys that I thought were spot on. Like last year, the guy that's good at rugby, I enjoy him, for example, and when something makes sense to me, I like to retweet it.
And will you be going to World Rugby through the official channels as well, or have you just said you've been on social media?
Yeah, that takes a bit of a while. You know, we tried to do that on Sunday, but they didn't come back to us, and on Monday they didn't come back to us, and this morning we got the report back. So that takes a bit of a while to get the full on the report, and we got it this morning, then already Monday is done, and our second training is this afternoon. So when you get it only on a Tuesday morning, it does disrupt your week in terms of team selection and what things you want to rectify, and when Jacques wanted to, the tactics he wants to employ. You know, we really try hard to get my contact with them on Sunday night and send through clips to them and want some guidance and help on certain things that we can fix and maybe change in our team selection. But unfortunately, their process is, they said it was the same in the Six Nations, which we wouldn't know because we didn't play there. But they said they normally only give feedback on a Tuesday back. So we got it this morning. I'm currently working through it. We're going to give it back to Jock this afternoon and see if we can then in the one training that's still left, maybe try and implement some of those things.
So that was Razi Erasmus. We've got Ronan Nagara with us on the line. Hi, Ronan.
Hey, Joe. How are you?
Good. What do you make of all this?
Yeah, there's so much in that. Actually, I haven't heard that interview before, and it's fascinating. There's a lot of, I think, pent-up frustration in Razi, and I think he's very, very frustrated listening to that interview, be it only my first time listening to it.
Mm. And the decision to go public and retweet criticism and tweet his own stuff, does he feel almost as if Warren Gatland maybe played the TMO quite nicely and he wants to try and do something similar this week? What's your read on him going so public with it?
It's, It's very hard to get that balance right. There's sometimes, and I know myself at stages throughout a European season or a top 14 season, I have been frustrated with certain amounts. But I think, the one consistent advice was be to, you have some chance of engaging and getting a positive return by going the official channels. If you try and, go through Twitter, where everyone has an opinion and a remark or a comment, it becomes a bit of a free-for-all.
Yes.
And, there's obviously, it doesn't take a genius to work out that he's annoyed with World Rugby and the fact that he hasn't got feedback and the fact that it's on the Six Nations terms, because this is a World Cup winner who's probably disappointed with his team with losing the first test. And he's looking for solutions and responses rapidly. But I think Sunday night, for officials, it's probably too early. Mm. So but that there's a lot in that 60-second, 90-second clip you played.
Yeah, I mean, he gets the feedback Tuesday. It's not the end of the world. They did give away 14 penalties to the Lions' 8. Did you feel they got on the wrong side of the referee, the wrong side of the TMO?
No, I don't think there is. I think it's a result of pressure. You look at the first half, I just couldn't get over in the fact that for 40 minutes, there was one team in it, Joe. And at halftime, I was saying, I can't see how there's going to be any other result than a South African victory, 12-3.
Yeah.
Completely dominating the game in a lot of aspects. And then with a bit of, hindsight, I think you just, an experience of season that I've had and having a lot of players that have had COVID, I think South Africa definitely weren't as accurate in the second half, but had they had bodies on the pitch, but what our input, our feeling had the players that were in these bodies, because the example of Pollard, for example, excellent for 40, but fell off a cliff in the second half. And is that mental fatigue, the physical fatigue, is a combination? It's rare enough in a game, and there was pace for the first 7 minutes, that your 10 is cramping, because the outside backs probably run more distances than the 10, for example. And you could see that he was obviously replaced, and along with a number of players didn't look to be at their certainly anywhere near the level of their World Cup performances.
No, they look wrecked in the second half. It's that simple, isn't it? They ran out of steam.
And I think data and research shows that everyone, I think, reacts and suffers differently from COVID, and some people, within days can come back, other people it takes months. And we probably will only have that, evidence in years to come. But it definitely seemed to have an impact on this game. But also, I think the Lions 23 is probably stronger.
Mm. Yeah, the bench was excellent. So would you say the Lions did anything dramatically different in that second half?
No, I think they were a lot more accurate in what they did. And high ball and scraps make up for such an amount of moments in the modern game, that everyone has a game plan. But you look at no team, pulled out a Joe Schmidt special, for example, off first phase to break down the opposition. It was more high ball and winning scraps that was the difference in the end. And obviously, I think that's where the big dilemma for South Africa comes, because if, 12-3, 9-0 up at half time, and to know that you didn't close out the game with the game plan they have, I think that will pose a lot of questions in their head this week, because for me, they play a kick pressure game. They play channel one, or go at the 10 channel, the opposition 10 channel. They bring the forwards around the corner, and then either Pollard, Faf de Klerk, or Willie LaRue kicks the ball into the air, and they go after that, and they look to win that, and then they try and, as we saw, come up with probably one or two mismatches with a few athletes to score tries. But I think the big bonus for the Lions will be that the South African phase game is very unproven in terms of bringing teams through phases. They look to kick at every opportunity.
Yeah, just ask Per Cheslin Colby. I'm not sure he got a pass all second half.
and probably in a good position as an opposition to talk about this. He's deadly. You know, the more he doesn't have the ball, the greater your chance of your team winning.
I mean, I don't know loads about rugby, but I know if I had Cheslin Colby in the team, I'd be trying to get the ball in the guy's hands a bit more.
Yeah, most definitely. But I would say that I wouldn't say it was neglected in terms of South African tactics, but I would say their preferred route was direct and through the air. And then Colby at the end of one or two passes to work his magic.
Yes.
But I would say this week there will be a different emphasis, I would say. And he scrums on the right-hand side. He's obviously a right-hand winger, so you can use him directly off nine. It's a nightmare, him running at bigger from point of view that, worst-case scenario, he sidestepped late at the line. It could invite a swinging arm, which could be a yellow card. He has the brilliance to either play D'Alande short or go out the back to Pollard. Mm. So that option with him coming off his wing is something that I think we will see more of.
Because I know South Africa are just very, very good at what they do. People know generally what they're going to do. The problem is trying to stop them. So they're predictable, but damn difficult to stop. Why not use Colby a bit more and be both unpredictable and difficult to stop? I mean, that's why I'm just scratching my head a bit. He'd put manners in any defence if he was liable to pop up here and there.
Yeah, but we're all experts. Joe, they've never... When is the last time they've lost a game?
Saturday. So
it has all, yes, but before
no,
that,
I know
they haven't played, but like in terms of they have such belief in their style of play and belief in each other and trust that they've, you mean, they won a World Cup deservedly, there's no doubt about that. But I think
we're
probably still not giving enough credit to the Lions front five that it's not a makeshift, but they've come together and it brought the best out of Furlong, it brought the best out of Etosha, I think it brought the best out of Makavunipola. Mm. Alwyn Jones was immense, and Luke Cowan-Dickie was very, very good. I think when you don't get that momentum, energy, positive vibes from the scrum, from a South African point of view, that really feeds the Lions machine.
Yes. You talked about the Lions in the second half there, you know, brilliant in the air and working off scraps and winning the aerial battle and starting to win territory and all this kind of stuff. Were you expecting them to play that type of game plan, or were you thinking it might be a bit more expansive and trying to go to the edges and ball in hand?
Yeah, I was, and I think that's obviously what will be really interesting to watch this weekend, because I think there's probably a big area of improvement between in the Lions phase game as well from actually stretching South Africa. I think they know if they get ball and play in tempo in their game with the fitness effects of players recovering from COVID, that the Lions, because of the season they've had, they will be fitter and probably more powerful and have more endurance later in the game. But I think that probably has to start earlier in the game to get the benefit out of it. But you look at, I think, few clips and attacking clips. In South Africa get very narrow on their kick chase. So when they Faf de Klerk kicks or Pollard kicks, South Africa really put a big focus on probably 30 metres around the ball where it drops, and they go hard off the line there. But it just needs, I think, a little bit more scanning in terms of the outer backs and also the inner backs to kind of play the ball where you have a forward delivering it out the back to an active pivot.
Yeah.
If you can understand me, to change the point of attack. And they're... risk involved in that is big, because the shooter in the South African defence can kill it 15 metres behind the gain line. But actually, if you execute the skill well, you could actually have three or four man overlaps on the outside.
Yeah. Luke Fitzgerald was on the 09 tour, as were you, obviously. And he was saying that he does remember Gatland even then talking about wanting to have the ball in play for a really high percentage of the game. You know, this was one of the ways he figured they could beat South Africa. So here we are 12 years on. And it's very clear he thinks the same thing. So the Lions gave the South Africans just four lineouts as opposed to the 16 they had themselves. Like, de Klerk had kicked the ball out of play routinely from his own 22 and was quite happy to do so. And you would think that in part, I mean, I know you're saying they could go through the phases more, but that in part must have contributed to South African tiredness. So you would expect that to continue, I presume, from the Lions' perspective now. Like, if you're a coach with the Lions, you'd be saying, well, geez, they're clearly not fit. Let's just move these all day long, keep the ball in play all day long. We're going to see that for sure on Saturday.
Yeah, I also think that's the cornerstone of one of Gatland's philosophies. It was, if you look at Wales for the last 20 years, Mike Phillips either hammers the ball as long as he can, 60 metres. They don't kick it out ever. They don't give lineups to opposition. And it's a trademark of Warren Gatland's play in terms of he backs his team fitness. He is very good on the psychology of the game to influence his players that they're the fastest and the fittest and the strongest that have ever worn a red jersey. So instead of Wales playing this weekend, it's the Lions playing, but he'll also have the language and to make this out that this is a level up from Wales. So it is very convincing, and it does actually make sense as long as you have a strong defensive line. But it is really well led by off-kick chase by Bigger and Farrell.
Right. So Gatland was talking about the various changes he's made for the second test, and I guess this quote in particular gives you a really good insight to how he sees this game. I'll put it to you. So he was talking about Chris Harris coming in. He said, "We're expecting Chris Harris to be incredibly direct for us." And then he said, "South Africa are going to be incredibly aggressive. They'll run hard. So it's just about staying in the arm wrestle. That's the message. There isn't a lot of space and opportunity the first 20 or 30 minutes. They play very little rugby in their own half, so it's a territory battle. We've just got to make sure the message is if we're 6-6 at 30 minutes or 9-6 ahead going into halftime, that puts us in a pretty good place." So that is a really, I think, genuine insight into how they see this game. Stay in this, stay there till halftime, you know, first 10 minutes, second half, be within touching distance, let alone 12 points to 3 down. Be within touching distance, then we can worry about playing rugby. And I guess that's why Ali Price is coming in off the bench. So, like, Gatland, I would put it to you, has been pretty upfront there about how they see this.
Yeah, and I think he also will have learned from what last Saturday brought, and the fact that I think there's a huge amount of confidence to be gained from the fact that not having the best of starts, probably a very inadequate for 40 minutes and getting the job done against South Africa, that will be hugely pleasing. I think you do a good video session, you go, okay, these are the opportunities we left on the pitch. If we can kind of get better at, and there won't be A, B, C, D, and E, if we can get better at A and B, which would probably be winning the sky and stopping South Africa on the gain line, then they're in a great position, because deep down that South Africa don't really have a running phase game. It'll be more of the same with more emotion and with probably more of a hard edge.
Yes. So from a South African perspective, they don't have time here to suddenly flip a very successful formula on its head. It's just going to be a case of we do what we do and we're going to do it harder and better and hopefully it works. That's kind of how they're coming to this game.
Well, that's a little bit of a slight on the world champions. I think there's a little bit more involved in that, Joe, the fact that I think
but sorry, doing what they're doing better, what they do is still very, very good. So I don't mean it as a slight. So try and hit the standards of doing what they do that they had hit previously. They can't reinvent the wheel, is what I'm putting it to you. They're not going to throw something very different at the lines, is what I'm trying to say.
Correct. But also the fact that I think when you play that way with a massive pressure game, when you're getting the results, it's great, but there was periods, I think, throughout when there's examples in sport when it's probably more of a pressure game and it doesn't work, it can pose a lot of problems in players' heads.
Yeah.
In the fact that some guys wouldn't maybe voice it because it's so successful over the period, but once that hits a roadblock,
yes,
what is next? It's very hard in 1 week to all of a sudden go, all right, we're going to play it to win the playoff 10 and then we kind of wrap around here and everything becomes more expansive. You won't have enough time to get that to the required level, I would think, to beat a team as good defensively as the Lions. But you know, the other side, to come back to your question about Harris, it's probably if you wanted someone direct, for me was probably Bundiaki to fill that role. Chris Harris, I think, is good, but it was probably I think he's gone under the radar for Gloucester, maybe one or two moments for Scotland where he has been effective, but it's probably the area where there's most question marks about, again, going into a test game, the 13 position, because it's so crucial.
On the South Africans then, if fitness is going to be very key again, you'd have a better sense of this than most. To what extent do you think getting that 80 minutes under their belt, as disappointed as they'll be, obviously, is going to bring them on in for next week? Like, can 180 minutes really bring them on a huge amount, or do you think they're going to hit a wall again second half?
Yeah, I think they will. I think even for people starting off their season and in the best of health, it was always kind of three or four games to find your rhythm.
Mm.
And you can say that's a big advantage to the Lions, but I don't think in the warm-up game for the Lions they were anywhere near, I suppose, test level. So the Lions will got a lot out of South Africa. They will have got a lot out of last weekend. There's probably more fatigue in the Lions camp, but when you're, you know, on the edge of reaching Everest, you all of a sudden find the energy that's required to do something that you'll have for the rest of your life.
Curious for your thoughts on Jack Conan. Gatland was, well, raving about him, really, and talking about how initially Conan was quite nervous and how he's grown into himself on this tour, and he asks lots of questions and he carries out what he's asked to do perfectly. And so all this outside pressure, you know, I think in the English media a little bit, and I think Sam Warburton thought maybe bring in Faletau. Gatland was like, oh, no, sticking by Conan all the way here. This is some turnaround for a guy, Ronan, at a time it seemed even his Leinster future was question mark, whatever, about Ireland and the Lions. I mean, it's been remarkable. He looks to have had a very good game and he's having a hell of a tour.
Yeah, I think he had a good game. I don't know the back row as well as Sam Warburton, for example, but I think what I saw, I think he was solid to good.
Yeah, okay.
But that's only my interpretation of it. I don't have the eye for the level of detail that's required to analyse that position. But I think he was good. But it's a great story for perseverance, because you look back and it's probably, you know, I mean, CJ Stander and Caelan Doris is it in Ireland, to just name two who have probably been most talked about in that number eight position. But he's kept his head down. He's worked hard, and you know what I mean, to start two tests in South Africa and do well is a fantastic achievement.
Yeah, no, good on him. A last one, by the way. Marius Jonker, the TMO, he was in a lose-lose position last week. He's in a lose-lose position again. How does he try and overcorrect himself now on the back of getting the Hamish Watson stuff last? I don't know. He's in a really tough position.
Yeah, that was the big one. There's no doubt about that, that was a yellow card. And it probably would have had a big impact on the game, because going to 14, it just changes everything. And
do you think he had Gatland in his ear? Do you think he was aware of the pressure the Lions had put on about his appointment?
I don't think so. He's hugely experienced. He's been in rugby for a long, long number of years. It's
okay.
The example of, you know, of that, it would be like you have someone as good as Owen Farrell and his dad is Andy Farrell, and he's on the bench, you know. So you'd like to think that people are strong enough to stick by their convictions and their decisions. It's the same as a TMO, as a referee. They have a very, very difficult task. Mm. But you have to just go into game mode when it comes to this. And I think it was really close on the offside for the kick chase. It's not kick chase, but the ball put through by South Africa. That could have been an award and a try. And I don't think there would have been much, it's about disagreement to that decision, but that decision went for the Lions, and it was kind of a day where they definitely got the rub of the green. But these things worked themselves out probably over a test series.
Yeah, well, listen, we'll see how it goes Saturday. Sounds like you're leaning towards Lions to win this.
I think their potential to improve and the confidence they will take from delivering a result from 12-3 down is huge. I think the front five are ready to go again. And also the massive difference for me, sorry Joe, would be the backs substitutes. The halfbacks for the Lions are in a different class to the halfbacks to the replacement South Africans.
Okay, listen, great to get your thoughts. Enjoy the game, Ron Nagara. Thanks so much.
Cheers, see ya.
See ya, that's Ron Nagara there. And our Lions coverage is brought to you in association with Vodafone, lead partner of the British and Irish Lions. We do have commentary, by the way, if you're looking for it, of the second test and indeed the third test this Saturday. So you'll get that on the OTB Sports app. If you want to download that in your app store, you can stream the commentary and indeed all our content there.
The 2021 British and Irish Lions Tour.
On Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, lead partner of the British and Irish Lions.
Well, so far you've heard my voice, but then I brought two friends along. Next on the mic is my man, Jer. Come on, Jer, sing that song.
David Tyler.
Subscribe now to the OTB Football Podcast stream wherever you get your podcasts, and download the OTB Sports app.